Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate, KU football beat writer, and I'm joined today by Tom Keegan, sports editor and JUCO guru. Is that right?
Now I am, yeah.
Okay. Well, there's the tease. We're going to talk about junior college recruiting because it's one of the hottest topics in town right now. Kansas University's football team adding JUCO guys left and right. A lot of good names, a lot of good resumes, a lot to be excited about, and a lot of the fans and even these players themselves are pretty excited. What do you make of this fast and furious signing or at least commitment phase that we've got going?
Well, the commitment phase of it is fast and furious, but make no mistake that Charlie Weiss, his recruiting coordinator, Ionello, and all the other assistants have been studying the JUCO class all year long. They've been targeting it. So this has been just the result of hard work and the finishing touch of the basketball game against Colorado, because Allen Fieldhouse was really rocking for the first time this year. Great timing there.
It always times up perfectly. They needed it when Dane Chris was in the town and got it against Ohio State. It didn't work out exactly the way everybody hoped, but it got him here and you wanted him at the time, no question. So it's funny how the Fieldhouse can do that. But, yeah, you mentioned that. I mean, this whole phenomenon of bringing in JUCO guys to kind of bolster the roster, something that Coach Weiss has not been shy about talking about. I mean, press conferences during the season, post-game even sometimes during the season this year, he said, the more the merrier. Bring them on. We'll take them. We need guys who can play and play right now. And most often, that's where you get them. I mean, these guys are more advanced mentally, physically. They've been through the rigors of playing and balancing school and football, the whole thing. So, you know, are you surprised? I mean, we didn't have a whole lot of JUCO infusion during the short-lived Turner Gill era, but, you know, Mark Mangino used to bring some JUCO guys in, maybe not quite at this rate, but are you surprised that it's this high a number? We're already at 12 out of 18.
Well, I would be surprised if Charlie hadn't given us hints all year long that this is the way he was going to go. And the first hint was on the court at Allen Fieldhouse a year ago when he said he's going to try to find out why it is that K-State is 10-2 and KU is 2-10. Well, this year it's 11-1 and 1-11.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is JUCO. That's how Bill Snyder builds his program, and Charlie Weiss is tearing a page out of that. And, you know, with his emphasis on academics, I don't think he'd be going after junior college kids. The vast majority of them probably going to be fine in the classroom, and maybe take a gamble on one or two.
Yeah, I think pretty low risk based on what we've been able to find out from talking to some people. You know, these guys are all guys that, as Charlie Weiss always says, you know, they didn't want to go to JUCO. They weren't always dreaming of going to the JUCO.
Right.
They had, you know, dreams of playing Division I football out of high school, and their grades, most of these guys, their grades didn't allow them to get that right away. But they're there now, and I know that a lot of the work that he's done with making sure that these guys, remember, this is a coach that really backs it up when he talks about academics. This isn't a situation where he just says what sounds good. I mean, this is something that it really means something to him. And, you know, if you're an A and a B student and you're getting C's, well, you're still eligible with the C's. But in Charlie Weiss's book, you need to be getting A's and B's. And you might be subjected to some punishment or whatever if you're not playing to the level you deserve. Sort of like the idea of when he said, hey, if you're a 4.4 sprinter, you should run 4.4 every time you're sprinting. I don't want you running 4.7 or 4.9
right,
just because it's the first quarter. If you run 4.4, run 4.4. So if you can get A's and B's, get A's and B's. You know, I think that's kind of the mentality here. And that's what makes me think a lot of these guys are at least, you know, they may be C students or whatever, but they're low risk. And gosh, I mean, a lot of good names, a lot of guys that look like they can come in and make an impact right away. Obviously, Marquel Combs. He committed late Tuesday night, and he's got to be the gem of the group so far. A 4-star guy, big, physical.
Deep tackle.
Yeah, you think he makes the most sense as far as the name popping off the page right now?
I think so, and it's clear with some of the earlier moves that they've really upgraded the defensive line, or at least think they have. They've got to prove it. But I liked Ben Goodman, one of Turner Gill's recruits. I liked what I saw him late in the year at one defensive end. And then at the other defensive end, Andrew Bolton, who earlier committed, you know, the defensive end who is from
Mississippi, Raymond, Mississippi.
Right, Community College in Mississippi. But the exciting thing about him, he had offers from LSU, Iowa, and Mississippi State. So, I mean, if LSU is interested in a defensive end, there's a good chance he's a little bit different looking defensive end from what we've seen here recently. So you got Goodman at one end, Bolton at the other, and then Combs, you mentioned a defensive tackle, and who knows if he's done recruiting that position or if Stowers, Keon Stowers, seemed to come on a little bit at the end of the year. With an extra year, he could be developed right there. That sounds like a better defensive line than Kansas had this year. You know, and you go to the Jenkins Moore at linebacker to team with Heaney and Jake Love right off the bat. That seems like an upgrade. And of course, there could be other guys yet to be recruited who could beat any number of these guys out. And then the secondary, I'm really excited about this Johnson, the JUCO safety they got, who had like 8 interceptions and had some big time schools recruiting him from Iowa Western. I think that's real exciting. You know, and out of high school, Arizona wanted him, and he went the community college route. And I just think in each unit on defense has been upgraded, and then the offensive line, they've got a big guard coming in from the JUCO ranks and a big tackle they just got today. So that helps. They're not done there, but that helps a lot. And then the one unit where, you know, they do have the one Mark Thomas from New York City at wide receiver, but that's an area where they still need to really upgrade as wide receiver.
Yeah, and that one could take some time. I mean, you know, this is a team that threw no touchdown passes to the wide receivers this year. They're losing the quarterback. It's another question mark, even though there's enough there to believe that Jake Heaps will be an upgrade. It's still a question mark for everybody until he actually shows what he can do on the field. So I think it might be one of those things where the receivers, you know, stay away. And some of these programs that are recruiting receivers against KU use that and say,
I'm sure they will, but if you're the receiver and you're confident and you know you can get open, you could look at game film and see there weren't a lot of guys getting behind the defense, and there aren't going to be guys beating you out if you can get behind the defense. Justin McKay, you hope he'll be good. He's not a burner, but you hope he'll upgrade the position. But you don't know. He's a big question mark. So if I'm a JUCO wide receiver,
sign me up. Yeah. Right? I mean, to go play for Charlie Weiss, who's coached all these offenses and worked with all these people that have got the job done. I mean, it seems to make some sense. But, you know, it's I think one of the impressive parts about this class so far with these 12 JUCO guys that they've brought in already is the focus has been largely on defense. You're looking at 5, maybe 6 potential starters out of this group. That says a lot about what was here, but it also says a lot about these guys. I mean, you mentioned Johnson. You know, he earned honorable mention, All-American honors this year, helping lead his JUCO Iowa Western to the national championship. I mean, you're not just some stiff if you can be a part of that and play like that. Cassius Sindish, another guy, 6'2", you know, big physical corner. I talked with him. He says, hey, I'll play whatever they want me to play. I'll get up on the line, press a guy. I'm happy to do that. I can do that. Coach won't have to worry about it the rest of the game. I mean, you know, that's the one thing. With all these guys that I've talked to, it's a confident group. It's a very, very confident group. And I think that shows by their resume. I mean, you don't put up stats like these guys have done, even in junior college, without having some confidence and believing in your game and what you can do. So that'll be something that could really go a long way toward helping this program. Confidence, leadership, you know, those kind of things that have sort of been missing here just because the record and the way things have gone the last few years and really 4 years have been just so down. It's been such a depressing thing with all the losing streaks and all the, you know, the blowouts and then the turnover and all that. I mean, you get some guys in here who have not experienced that, haven't been beaten down by that, it can only help.
Right, and I'm going to guess there could be as many as 7 starters from this recruiting class. You take Ben Goodman, let's say he earns a starting position, let's say Keon Stowers earns a starting position, Ben Heaney, Jake Love, I mean, the whole secondary could be new. I mean, Shepard will be in there competing, Greg Allen will be in there competing, Tevin Shaw, those guys will all be, Ray Mitchell, they'll all be competing for spots, but certainly those spots are wide open.
Sure, and yeah, I mean, a couple on the line, a couple at linebacker, you're right. I mean, Holden Tharp, ton of experience, ton of minutes, ton of snaps, but there's some linebackers coming. I mean, you mentioned Marcus Jenkins Moore already, but this other one, I might butcher the last name, but Samson Fafali, something like that.
Fafali,
yeah. Another 5'11". Like I know. We'll have to get a pronunciation guide going online. But another 5'11", 240 JUCO player. I talked with Marquell about him, and he said he's a downhill player. He'll hit anything that comes near him, and he loves to stuff it. And, you know, again.
That's what Quell said.
That's right. A lot of confidence, a lot of excitement around this whole group. So I guess before we get out of here, let me just ask you one thing. I mean, we already mentioned the academic thing. You know, are there any other concerns that jump out at you?
Well, sure. You're going to have a ton of JUCOs in this class, which means you're not going to have many high school kids, which means you're going to, down the road, have to replenish with JUCOs again. So once you commit to going the JUCO route,
right,
it's going to be a semi-regular thing where you're going to have these big years for JUCO recruits.
Yeah, and the turnover, I mean, they only get 2 years. You know? So if it takes any of these guys, and it may take all of these guys a full year to adjust and to get ready, obviously the hope is that that's not the case, but it might. I mean, it's Big 12 football is different than JUCO football. You can't say it any simpler than that. So if it takes a year for these guys to adjust, then you're down to just 1 year for them to actually play and play the way you expected them to. So you're right. I mean, it just kind of cycles and turns over. And obviously KU knows as well as anyone, if not better than anyone, that sometimes JUCO guys don't pan out. I mean, Jock Crawford, certainly the first one that comes to mind.
Wow.
He did not get those 2,000 yards. others that come to mind that didn't quite pan out. Quentin Woods.
Yeah, I was just going to mention him because he just looked like a fast defensive end, and then you saw him play and his arms were sutured to his sides, and he never learned how to use his arms. And
yeah, that's just two on a list of, you know, a dozen guys maybe over the last 10 years, that if not more.
I remember a wide receiver, Brian Murphy, worked out.
Yeah, yeah.
He was good. He was a good player, but as you said, he was better as a senior and as a junior, but he was good. I liked him a lot.
Sure. And, I mean, even on this last team, I mean, a guy like Tunde Bakari, you know.
Solid.
Yeah, he was nothing spectacular, but by his senior year.
Taylor Cox. Yeah. Had an excellent season at the deepest position on the team.
There you go. So it looks like, you know, KU's seen it both ways, obviously. So we'll see. We've got a lot to get figured out with this group still, but the bottom line is they're getting the players that they think can help and that automatically seem to upgrade the roster. So as long as that's the case and they keep doing it, then, you know, plenty of reason to be excited and jump on board with this dubbed Dream Team that Marquell has started. He started
if
that.
If that guy has that much leadership in rallying recruits to join him in going to Kansas, he's going to have leadership on the field, and he could end up being right from day one the leader of this defense.
There's no doubt. Yeah, open spots for not only talent but leadership and all that stuff. So that's all we've got for today. Just a quick look at this JUCO flurry that we've had lately. But it's been fun. It's been fast and furious. And we'll stay on top of it. So you guys stay tuned in to KUSports.com and be sure to follow everything. And we'll be back to talk with you sometime soon. Maybe next week after they sign some of these guys officially. Thanks for joining us. For Matt and Tom and Matt, we'll talk to you next time.